the cybersecurity space that we're in new territory. We are dealing with a rapidly changing technology, creating new threats, but also new challenges for law enforcement, and for us to really have a dynamic approach to understanding how ethically we can meet the challenges of those threats, but also encourage public consent in the way we do it.
For help in drawing up their code of ethics, the senior police officers turned to Dr. Katerina Hadjimatheu, a research fellow at the University of Warwick who specialises in this area. Why do they need it?
One area in which I think such a code could be particularly useful is when it comes to police monitoring of online data, but also monitoring of communications data, and there I mean people's mobile phone records and their email activities, as well as just open source material. Now, there's a strict distinction drawn in legislation in many countries and generally in, historically here in the UK as well, between the content of online communications and what's called metadata. But what it actually is the shape of content. So an email went from this person to that person at this time. But this distinction may no longer be very relevant. Historically, it was thought to protect privacy because it was thought that metadata is less intrusive, it's less revealing of somebody's private life than the contents of their communications. But actually, as more and more of our lives is lived out and played out online and via communications like mobile phones, it becomes more and more revealing of what we do, who we are, who we associate with, who's important to us, for example. And when this kind of data can be cross-referenced with lots of other data online, much of it open-sourced, then metadata plus open-source online data could actually be very, very revealing of intimate details about people's lives, who they're in a relationship with, for example. And so a code of ethics could help to indicate to police when their use of open source data and metadata, for example, starts to cross the line into revealing really private or personal information about people's lives.
Is it possible to devise a code of ethics which will be universal, which will apply for the future, and yet will be precise enough to deal with problems of technology that we may not even be familiar with now?
So I'll just illustrate here another area where I think it's interesting and thorny. In the USA, they have developed a code of guidance for FBI agents using open source data for investigations. And there, they recommend that codes analogize between undercover policing and neighborhood policing on the one hand, what we already know about what's right and wrong in those cases, and police patrolling online. I think that's very problematic for a number of reasons. One, neighborhood policing usually involves police who are in uniform, walking visibly in streets. When police patrol online, there is no such equivalent visibility, even if they're only looking at open source data. Secondly, there are different and more nuanced ways in which police can watch us online than in real life, we might say. So police might just use an IP address that's not registered to the police when they go and look, for example, at far-right websites. That's a kind of concealment, but it doesn't go as far as being undercover. Then police might be looking at open source data that's nevertheless much more personal than what we might be doing in the street. So there are Facebook sites that are open source. They're not the same as blogs. I might be writing on a blog, and that's intended for public consumption. My Facebook site, even if it's not protected, is not intended for public consumption. My interactions with somebody on my niche interest for a website chat room is even less intended for public consumption. So there are many more gradations of expectations of privacy online than there are in our non-online lives, I might say. So I think that it's simplistic to say that police could just lift their protocols for neighbourhood policing and undercover policing and plainclothes policing and try and superimpose them onto online policing. I think something much more nuanced needs to be developed. And that, again, is an area where a code of ethics could really have some value.
Why should I be concerned if the police are looking at open source material about me? After all, I put it into the open air, I put it online, I'm responsible for it, it's presumably public.
One of the concerns about police speculatively trawling through online information or speculatively visiting websites is that police presence in discussion, especially political discussion, can be chilling. And by chill, I mean that people will be more hesitant, perhaps, to experiment with more controversial political viewpoints or engage in more risque political discussion if they know that there's a police presence, because they fear potentially coming under police suspicion of criminality of some sort. And this kind of fear is not unwarranted, especially in the light of, for example, undercover police operations with green and environmentalist groups, and we know of that happening in this country. So I think this is also set out in existing police code of ethics. Police should have a reason for interfering with people at any level before they do it.
But does that extend to simply monitoring a conversation on a website, comments on a newspaper or some sort of thread or some sort of discussion on Facebook? After all, anyone can read it.
Anyone can read it, but I think the police have powers that not anybody does have. And that's what makes people concerned about what the police do. And so I think the fact that something is open source does not by itself mean it's fair game for police. I think many of us would feel uncomfortable if a policeman attended a meeting of a local neighbourhood watch, for example, or even a meeting of a local Labour Party. We would want to know why the police were there, what the reasons were they felt for monitoring a legitimate political discussion. And the same goes for online. The police need to have a reason, and they need to be able to show that they have a reason for monitoring our activity online.
And of course, you would never know that they were reading the contents of the website.
Absolutely, and fears about the police being present, combined with an inability to tell whether they're present or not, can have this chilling effect. And why is chill important? Chill is important because in order to have a thriving democratic civil society, people need to be able to experiment with perhaps unpalatable views, to say, this makes sense to me, to go down that route and then to change their mind, to decide they don't want to be involved in criminal activity, it's just an opinion they hold. And in order for people to be able to be free in their thought and in their expression, we need to know what police are doing online. We need to feel confident that they're not just monitoring us spuriously.
Katerina Hadjimatheou.